Madigay, Gimbe, Bidipi, Baray. That means welcome friends to Biripi Country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people who have stayed into this land. I would like to pay respect to the elders both past and present, and extend that respect to all listeners of King's Kiss.
Hello, I'm Heidi and welcome to King's Kids. We enjoy having your company each week as we share from Tony Denison's life experiences and some good music. Today Tony is talking about reconciliation, something that's dear to the heart of our Aboriginal community and also dear to God's heart. Here's Tony.
A few years back now, I was privileged to be part of a reconciliation meeting that took place between people from England, descendants of the First Fleet people that came out. They came out to Australia because these people were Christians and they'd heard a word from God to come out. And these people didn't have any funding. They put everything together themselves. They drew up an itinerary and they travelled to massacre sites around Australia. And they came with gifts and they came wanting to reconcile with the Aboriginal people for what their ancestors did. And these people, being Christians, we had a church meeting and then we went out one day through the week with Aboriginal elders and this delegation of people from England. And we got out there, we sang hymns, the old songs, and we got into praise and worship out there at the Slaughterhouse Creek Massacre site. But I want to tell you, before I get into this story about the reconciliation, the old Aboriginal people used to talk about things like, where massacres took place amongst our people, the land would become barren, the land would be useless, and that there nothing would ever grow there again until there's reconciliation. Now, I thought about this on the day we went out there, and these people, we got in the praise and worship, they started to cry, and me being one of the elders and the only elected member on the town council, I was there, and we received the exchanges of gifts between these people and us. And then they apologised on behalf of what their grandparents or their ancestors did to the Aboriginal people. And I decided, well, as an elder, we accepted their apologies and we asked them to forgive us for anything that our ancestors might have did to them as well, which brought reconciliation. And then I noticed a few weeks later, when I was on my way to Inverell, as I drove past Slaughterhouse Creek, I could see that the vegetation had started to come back. And I noticed the animals along the creekside, where there wasn't many for many, many years that I can remember as a child, never seeing any animals there, or never seeing vegetation start to grow again. And that reminds me that when we don't have forgiveness and we can't reconcile with each other, that while ever we have this, just like that riverbank and that of creekside where these massacres took place, the place was barren and desolate and empty. And that's what it's like in a human being's heart when we have unforgiveness, when we sin against God and when we sin against other people, we have this emptiness in our heart, just like that riverbed and that slaughterhouse site. Nothing was growing there. When we reconcile with the person that have either sinned against us or have hurt us in any way, most of the time we get it in our heads, well, he did that to me or she did that to me, and I'm never going to talk to them again until they come and reconcile with me. Now, that's the way of the world. You see, the Aboriginal people could have said, well, we're not going to reconcile with these people when they come out of here. You know, but they came with a willingness to reconcile. And because we then accepted their reconciliation, we accepted their apology, and then we hugged, we embraced. And the freedom that we felt, even though we didn't know these people, and these people weren't directly responsible for the things that happened in those days, but there was a great release and a great freedom and an overflowing of joy and love that came from that meeting. And I was very privileged to be part of it. That's what it's like when these people decided to come from England. See, long ago, long before the foundations of the earth was even built, Jesus came and he had a plan to come and reconcile us to God. He came to reconcile us to God so that we would no longer be barren and be outcast in the land, that we wouldn't be outcast with God. And you see, if God waited for us to come and say, hey, God, we're sorry, he would be waiting a long time. The word eternity wouldn't be out of place with some of us human beings who don't know God, because it's just not in us to come to God and say we're sorry. But God knew that right from the very beginning, that he had his plan to put in place that Jesus would come and make atonement for our sins and our grievances against God and against fellow men. He would come and give us that atonement by his sacrifice on the cross. And as we felt that peace on that day, when we reconciled and we both forgave both sides of the fence, both parties forgave each other, that freedom, the tears flowed. And it was not tears of sadness, it was tears of joy and happiness. And that's the sort of feeling that you get when you can reconcile with God.
My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea. I have been washed in the stream of salvation, and I am free. I have good news, your sins are forgiven. They're farther away than the east is from west. Come now and bathe in God's stream of salvation, and know righteousness. Come for healing, come for wisdom, come the Father longs to bless. I am God's child, I stand here forgiven. My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea. I have been washed in the stream of salvation, and I
What an uplifting song. Scott Wesley Brown with I Stand Here Forgiven. Tony's been talking about getting closer to God through reconciliation. It's through Jesus we can be reconciled to God, because Jesus paid the penalty we should pay for being antagonistic towards God. The Bible says we are enemies of God until we find him. Tony continues by showing how much love God has for us.
The closer we get to God, we just realize just how big God's heart is. That the Bible says that he didn't want anyone, not one person, to go to hell. He didn't send Jesus into the world to punish us, but he sent him to make a way for us to be reconciled with God. And Jesus did it all. We don't have to do anything. He did it all at the cross. I noticed that many times throughout my life when I've had grievances with other people or people in churches. In fact, I probably had more blues with people in churches than I have with the world. Because sometimes God put us together with other Christians and they're like sandpaper. And they just rub you the wrong way. But you see, if we was all the same, we wouldn't make a difference. That's why the Bible calls us, we're the body of Christ. We're all different parts. You know, where some are hands, some are eyes, some are noses, some are mouths, some are big mouths. But, you know, we're all different. And sometimes we got to learn as Christians to get along with each other. Because, you know, we are the light to the world. Because Jesus is shown through our behavior towards each other and our behavior towards our neighbors. You can buy Bibles and you can stand on the street corner and give out free Bibles all day till you're black in the face. And you can actually go into a factory or a workplace or where you work and you can buy Bibles and give them out to everybody. People won't know God by just reading the Bible because you gave it to them. They'll be watching the person that gave it to them. You can't give a Bible to someone and say, I've done my bit for God. And then 5 minutes later, you're having a full-on argument with somebody else and swearing your head off because that's just being a hypocrite. You can't say to non-Christians, I've given you a Bible, go off and read it and get saved. You know, they look at you and they look at your behavior because you're God's advertisement. And you need to be aware that if you call yourself a Christian, the moment you start doing things that highlights Jesus or highlights the fact that you're a follower of Christ, two things are going to happen. While you're lethargic, while you're just going along, being in the world, part of the world, and not doing anything to glorify the name of Jesus, the devil will leave you alone. He will leave you alone because he's got you complacent. You're not glorifying God. And, you know, most people wouldn't know you as a Christian because of the way you behave in the workplace, the way that you behave at home with your family. But the moment you come alive, the moment that little light comes on inside of you and that little spark starts and you start to glorify Jesus, Satan tries to snatch that away from you. And he will bring circumstances about to make you lose your cool, to make you get angry with somebody, to make you look bad as a Christian. Look, a mate of mine got saved 3 or 4 weeks ago. And he said to me, Tony, he said, I'm really feeling with God this time. I've had enough of drinking. I've had enough of drugs. I've had enough of sleeping around with women. And he said, and I really made a fair income commitment to God. He said, on Wednesday. And he's telling me this on the following Sunday. He said, your brother, you won't believe this, he said. The moment I accepted Christ into my heart on Wednesday morning, for weeks I've been struggling with this decision. Will I give God a go? You know, I've had enough of these drugs. I've had enough of alcohol. I've had enough of sleeping around with women. And you know what he said? The moment I accepted Christ, within 2 hours, this woman sent me a text message. And she said, look, I've got plenty of grog, I've got drugs, and why don't you come around tonight and we'll make a party of it? He said, you know what? He said, I had to turn my phone off and not look at the message because the old me wanted to go and do those things. But he said, the new me wanted to let it go. And he said, brother, he said, I never prayed so much in all my life. He said, and I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know whether God was listening to me because I didn't know any Bible prayers. I just cried out to God and said, God, I need your help. I need strength not to do this. And I said to him 3 days later, did you do it? He said, no. I said, well, God must have heard you, brother. God must have heard you because he gave you strength not to do it. And you see, he was reconciled to God when he gave his heart to God. He was reconciled, made right with God, just as if he'd never sinned. And that's what happened when you go back to the start of my story. You see, when we reconciled with each other, that land was restored just as if it never was cursed. The animals came back, the grass grew, the vegetation flourished. God blessed that place because of reconciliation, because two people from different parts of the world came together. They came all the way from England at their own expense to reconcile because they felt God told them to. And you know what? They just didn't do it in Moree. They did it all around Australia. These people came for 12 months at their own expense to do this. I have no doubt in my mind that wherever they went, the vegetation grew as people reconciled. But it's not only the vegetation that grew on that day. The love of Jesus grew in people's hearts. As two people from different nationalities hugged each other and cried out and said, God loves you, brother. God loves you, sister. And you know what? You can feel the love. You can feel the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in that place. And that's what happens. You know, when you have an argument with somebody and, you know, you've had the huffs for 2 or 3 days and you chuck the tandy like a 2-year-old and laid on the floor kicking and stomping your feet and you said, I'm not talking to that person. I've even experienced that in my own family just recently. Something happened between two of my daughters and I felt like a spare groomsman at a wedding, a spare best man, because my ex-wife was up one end of the mall with one daughter and her children. My other daughter was down the other end of the mall with me and the children, and I'm trying to float back in between the two of them. And I just gave up and said, God, you've got to do something. Anyway, the ex-wife brought the other daughter down, and after an awkward couple of minutes, the elephant in the room, nobody wanting to talk first, and thinking about who we're going to blame for all this and how we're going to sort it out. And you know what? One daughter said, well, look, I'm sorry. And within minutes, they reconciled. And you know, the family felt whole again. It didn't feel like a wound, like a sore. And I'm guilty of this many times in my life. I didn't have forgiveness for people that wronged me. It didn't bother them that I had unforgiveness. It only bothered me. And there's an analogy going around that, you know, it's like drinking poison yourself and then waiting for the other person to die, the person that wronged you. And that's silly when you think about it. And that's exactly what happens when you hold something against somebody. 9 out of 10 times, they've offended you at church because they didn't wave at you. You wanted to talk to them. And you think they brushed you off and you think they're clicky with somebody else. And, you know, ever been in a room, like especially you ladies, and don't ring in because I'm having a go at you ladies, but you ever been in a, seen a group of ladies together and they all talk about each other and that and they're all together? Nobody wants to be the first one to leave because they think the rest of them will talk about them. I've seen it many, many times. You know, they should have a thing when the bell strikes 12 where everybody leaves at the same time. Because we're human beings. That's what happens. And, you know, when we need to reconcile, like I said, when God reconciled us to him through Jesus Christ, you get freedom. And you know what? A lot of other religions don't give you that. Jesus is the only one that can give you that freedom. Today, if there's somebody out there that you think has wronged you, 9 out of 10 times they didn't wrong you. They'd either didn't hear you or they didn't see you. And you know, you got your nose out of joint for nothing. And because you, well, they snubbed me at church, I'm not going to talk to them again. And you know, you can go on for 3 or 4 weeks. And you know, when you think you've been wrong, I can tell you from experience, you lay awake at night for hours upon hours, thinking how you're going to get back at him. How can I square up with this fella? How can I do it? How can I make it right? And most people just think normal things, but me, with my past, I think some pretty bad things at times, and I got to repent after. You know what I mean? Because sometimes we think the whole world revolves around us, and we're always right, everybody else is wrong.
You gave me time when no one gave me time of day. You looked deep inside while the rest of the world looked away. You smiled at me when there were just frowns everywhere. You gave me love when nobody gave me a prayer. That's why I call you friend. You touched my heart, you touched my soul, and helped me start all over again. That's why I love you, Jesus. That's why. You gave me laughter after I cried all my tears. You heard my dreams while the rest of the world closed its ears. I looked in your eyes and I found the tenderness there. You gave me love when nobody gave me a prayer.
The day when my family reconciled at Gloria Jean's, mate, we had 6 grandkids in the one place, and 2 of them should never be allowed to play together ever, 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 never, ever. Mate, they are like 25 kids running around the room. I thought we was going to be asked not only to leave Gloria Jean's when your coffee's finished, but leave them all. I mean, these kids, they weren't naughty. They was just running in and out the tables and chasing each other. But these 2 kids can never play together because they get too excited. And you know what? They're not just 2 kids. They look like 25 kids running around. But you know what? I would rather be sitting there having my kids reconcile with each other and the kids running amok than having one lot of me kids sitting up the other end of the mall and the other kids sitting down the other end, waiting to make the first move. Now, on this, I'm going to tell you this other story. This is funny. Years ago, I was on my way out to see my old mate Bomber, and I'd been praying to God and asking God for some finances at the time, and I just prayed like I usually said, okay, God, I'd like some finances. Anyway, I'm heading out to Bomber's. He's out of town, and Bomber's coming to town, so he pulls over to the side of the road. And I'm sitting on the other side of the road, and we're yelling at each other across the road, and not one of us wanted to get out of the car first and go over and stand on the road and talk to the other one. So he was sitting there saying, look, I'm Bomber, man. You got to get out of the car and come talk to me. And I'm sitting there saying, no, well, I'm Tony, you've got to get out of the car and come talk to me. Anyway, after a couple of minutes of bantering across the road, I gave in, got out of the car, and I walked across the street. And remember, I'd been praying for finances. And the PP board had been through early and slashed all the grass, you know, on the travelling stock round. And everything was cut short and there was grass everywhere. Well, when I got over to Bomber's car, sitting next to his front tyre was a $100 note just sticking out from under his tyre. I would have missed the blessing that God had for me had I been stubborn and stayed in the car and made Bomber come to me. But I got out of the car and I didn't miss the blessing because I was praying for finances and there was a $100 note. And I knew it was a blessing because it should have been chopped up with all the other bits of grass and paper and that was on the side of the road. But you know, you see, sometimes as Christians, we miss the blessing from God because we're stubborn. We are so stubborn. And when you don't reconcile with your brother, your sister, your family, or with somebody else from church, you are missing the blessings because of your stubbornness. It's not hard. You don't have to do anything. Jesus Christ done it all for you when he went to the cross at Calvary. He reconciled us with God. All we have to do is swallow our pride and say, okay, forgive somebody or ask God to forgive us.
Forgiveness isn't always easy, but as it says in the Lord's Prayer, we need to forgive others just as the Father forgave us. Otherwise, as Tony said, we'll miss the blessing God has for us. Is there someone you need to reconcile with today? Pray, then give them a call. If you'd like to talk to Tony about what you've heard today, you can call him on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. You can also go to the King's Kids website and hear this message again by streaming or downloading. The website address is kingskidsministries.org. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Heidi, and on behalf of Tony and the King's Kids team, bye for now until next time. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.